Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're so glad that you're with us here today listening to this broadcast. We do pray that it will be a special blessing to you. We have a great subject that we are continuing to study from the Word of God. Jesus, the healer of the broken. Jesus, the healer of the broken. You know, I have often wondered how some things can be repaired. Some things look so irreparable. They are broken in so many shards and pieces. It looked like they could never, ever be put back together again. But there are masters of repair that go to work on paintings that have been smeared and paintings that have been decimated and desecrated and people whose purpose is to come in and repair things that are broken. I remember when one side of our church that was near a road was broken out, beautiful stained glass windows at that time, years ago, that rocks were thrown and hurled through those beautiful stained glass windows. And because they were very old and very brittle, they broke, shattered into pieces. And we hired a specialist in stained glass repair. And these were not just colorful windows, but they were windows with beautiful biblical scenes portrayed upon them. And they came in and meticulously went to work with different colored pieces of glass, restoring it to where you could never tell that it had ever been broken. It took a special artist with a very special gift, in my opinion, to do something that well and restore something that looked like it could never be restored. Well, that is exactly what Jesus Christ can do in your life and mine today. No matter what is broken, how bad it is broken, how long it's been broken, there is a healer that can touch you in a way no one can touch you and fix you in a way that no one can fix you. Praise God. And His name is Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament said God was willing to do that for ancient Israel. He said, I will give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and you shall be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. God, it can do that in your life, and He can do it in mine, and He will do it if we trust Him for it. In Jesus' name. Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I'm so excited about the message today. We do have people listening to this message at a military base in Germany. They hear WMAF, they hear this programming, and we just want to encourage other ministers that are on the air here on WMAF. Whether you get the feedback or not, your message is going forth. And be encouraged in the Lord. God is getting His word out to the nations of the world, and the investment we make to be on radio is an investment in the furthering of God's great kingdom today. So those ministers that are ministering right there in Madison and North Florida on this station, we're in full cooperation with you to be part of that great company that published the Word of God all around this world, anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world. This radio station and these broadcasts can be heard because of the wonder of the world wide web, as WMAF streams 24/7 family friendly programming, classic country music, classic gospel music. And as I always say, when I'm teaching and preaching through this broadcast, we're getting classic preaching based squarely on the unadulterated Word of God. Hallelujah! The inerrant, the eternal Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but He declared, my Word will never pass away. Now, you may be one of those broken ones. Something may be so broken in your life that you feel that it's irreparable. I want you to know today that Jesus Christ is the healer of the broken. He declared in the New Testament that He wasn't just anointed to set the captive free, but to set at liberty those that are bruised, who have that hurt that sin has caused within our hearts and within our lives. I want to read the text again from Jeremiah 8, and I'm going to read the context of our text in verse 22, beginning at verse 19 down to verse 22. It said, "Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me, to anger with their graven images and strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why can't God's blessing, and have not God's blessing been restored? Why are we not healed?" The Apostle Paul spoke of this rebellion, this refusal to repent, and that is the issue that we're dealing with today. Not just the supplied cure, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at the cross, but not just the supply that God has given us that we might be healed of our sin and brokenness and hurt, but the application of that blood. You see, the blood of Jesus supplied is not enough. It has to be applied. It's when the Lamb supplied the blood to be applied on the doorpost in the ancient Passover story when God brought them up out of Egypt. But it wasn't enough for the blood to be supplied through the death of that little lamb. It had to be applied. They had to put it on the doorpost. And the application of the blood is what we're talking about. Through repentance and faith toward God, the blood that was supplied by Jesus on the cross as the last and final lamb that God would ever honor in a sacrificial system. Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the Scripture declared. Because that blood has been shed and God has accepted it as the necessary sacrifice, that whosoever would repent of their sin and call upon the Lord, that He could forgive us on the basis of that shed blood. But when people rebel, refuse to repent, you see, the Scripture said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all iniquity. There is cleansing power in the blood of Jesus that was supplied so wonderfully at the cross. Such love like this the world has never seen and never known, but it came because of God's great desire to save you and to save me. Praise God for what has happened at the cross, because at the cross the blood of the atonement, the blood sacrifice, was supplied by Jesus as He hung in agony for 6 solid hours and suffered our punishment so that we could be forgiven. But when we rebel and we pull away and we refuse to apply that blood by coming to Christ as our Savior, repenting of our sin, you know, we're trying to make it a cheap gospel today that doesn't require any kind of contrition, any kind of confession of our sin, only a confession that we believe Jesus died for us and that He rose again. That is not the fullness of salvation. It begins with repentance and faith toward God's provision. That's how the blood of Jesus, which has been supplied, is applied personally precisely, individually, that our sin might be forgiven. Praise God. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament spoke of this same rebellion in Romans 10 and verse 21. But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth mine hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. This word gainsaying is taken from the Greek word antilego, which means to dispute, to refuse to hear, to answer again, to contradict, to deny, to speak against, which literally, again, means to gainsay. Repentance is essential to applying the blood of Jesus to our life. Repentance is a crucial element in saving faith. Repentance and faith toward God will result in forgiveness. The Bible said in Psalm 28, it said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesses and forsakes his sin shall have mercy. Praise God. Amen. In fact, in the book of Revelation to the church of Laodicea, Jesus said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Because, see, when we repent of our sin and receive Christ as our Savior, He is able to forgive our sin and reconcile us to God. And all of those blessings and healing and help that we need, this brokenness in our life, broken fellowship with God and broken hearts because of sin, the shame, the guilt, it's all healed. And the help we need comes. I'll tell you, Jesus can take every broken thing in your life, and He can give you blessing in place of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Job 22, verse 23 said, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up, and thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Amen. If we decide in our heart that we are going to repent of our sin, it takes the quashing of pride, the putting down of pride. You see, pride will hold us back. It will keep us from being honest with God. And God honors us when we humble ourselves before Him. And we become like David, who sinned but admitted his sin and repented of his sin. And when he did, God restored his soul. Hallelujah. Praise God. He died with a testimony of victory instead of defeat, of a testimony of being reconciled unto God instead of being shoved away from that presence because of pride. You know, the Bible said God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. It goes on to say, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season. The Bible teaches that the devil, Satan, the enemy of our soul, has blinded the minds of men. I looked up that word blinded in the Greek, and it means to obscure with smoke, so that you can't see clearly. You can't see what you need to see. What you need to see about your sin and your need for a Savior is obscured. It's like a smoked bottle or a smoked glass. But there's another use of that very same word, and it tells how the enemy blinds us. And it means to puff up with pride. To fluo, the Greek word, to blind, to puff up with pride, to obscure, like a smoked glass or a smoked bottle. You can see what the enemy wants to do. He wants to keep you and me from humbling ourselves, confessing our sin, so that God can forgive our sin. He can't do anything about the blood being supplied. The cross is a done deal. Jesus has supplied the necessary offering for our sin at the cross. But when we repent of our sin and trust Christ as our Savior, then that blood that He so generously, graciously supplied is applied, hallelujah, to our lives. And God honors it, and He forgives us, and He casts our sins away from us, as the Scriptures teach, as far as the east is from the west. Praise God. Hallelujah. This wonderful privilege, this wonderful opportunity, and the enemy doesn't want us, you or me, to receive that forgiveness. He wants to keep us so bound up in pride that we will not trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we will not repent of our sin. Ah, but friend, the Holy Spirit is calling every person on this planet to come and bow before the Lord, confess our sins, and call upon Him. Amen. And when we do, amen, God's grace and love and healing power for the brokenness that sin has caused is going to flow like a mighty life-giving river into your life and into mine. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is a gracious God, and God is a good God. Amen. So we're talking about this wonderful message of repentance that has been turned into something negative. We call it fire and brimstone. No, there is a place that the soul will spend eternity where there's fire and brimstone if we refuse His call to salvation. If we refuse to repent of our sin, if we rebel all the way to the last breath, there will be no further opportunity for God to save us or us to be saved. But now is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. And repentance is a positive act of a human being that's in a fallen world that has sinned against God, like we all have, to obtain forgiveness, to apply what Jesus has supplied on the cross. Oh, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And what it has accomplished in our life. Repentance is a complete change of mind. In the military, it would be to turn 180 degrees. A complete about faith. Amen. About face, rather. Wabush is a town in a remote portion of Labrador, Canada. We're completely isolated for some time, but recently a road was cut through the wilderness to reach it. Wabush now has one road leading into it, and thus only one road leading out. If someone would travel the unpaved road for 6 to 8 hours to get into Wabush, there's only one way he or she could leave, and that's by turning around. In housing subdivisions, they call that a cul-de-sac. A road leads in, but you have to come around and go out the way you came. Repentance is not just being sorry for your sin. It is making a decision. I do not want to travel in this direction. I want to go back. I want to go back to God, back to freedom, back to righteousness, back to that will fulfill instead of that will break, and that will disappoint, and that will discourage, and that will torment me in my mind and in my heart. Oh, friend of mine, God's offer today to those that are willing to turn around and go back to God. You know, He said, "Return to me" in the Old Testament, and I will return to you. It says it in verse 23 of the book of Job that we were reading from. It said, "If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up, and thou shalt put iniquity far away from thy tabernacles." Job chapter 22. And verse 23, "If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up, and thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. We're not talking about living sinlessly perfect. No one can do that, and that's why the blood of Jesus was supplied. That's why it was shed. But when we come to Christ, there's a new bent in our heart toward righteousness. And if we return to God, the Bible said, you'll be built up and you'll put away iniquity. Iniquity is this attitude of rebellion against God in the heart. This attitude that says, I will not bow to any other master. When in fact, the moment we make that declaration, we are bowing to a master whether we know it or not. Romans 6:16 really tells this very clearly in the New Testament. It said, whoever you and I yield our members, servants to obey, his servant we are whom we obey. Whether sin unto death or God unto righteousness. Praise God. Listen, friend, amen. You're going to have to serve somebody. As Bob Dylan's song said in the Bible, bears out. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you and I are serving somebody today. Whether sin unto death or God unto righteousness. Job 22:23 says, If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up, and thou shalt put iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Every time Israel returned to God, every time they humbled themselves and returned to God, God kept His promise. God returned to them. And when God returned to them, He turned their captivity. The Scripture said in the book of Psalms, when God turned the captivity of Zion, then was our mouth filled with song and our tongue with laughter. It began by saying, we were as those that dream. We thought this is too good to be true. To be held captive so long and to be free to go home out of that prison house and have, as the Scripture declared, their fortunes restored unto them. Hallelujah. And then to have God defend them and provide for them and bless them. God healed the brokenness that sin and rebellion had brought between Israel and Himself. And then He healed all of the things that had occurred in the national life and personal life of those people. And their mouth was filled with song. Amen. And their tongues were filled with laughter. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you've met some Christians along the way that look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. But that is not what God's offer is all about. The only Christians that look that way are Christians that are not fully committed to follow Christ, because there's joy in this journey if we decide to follow Him. Whatever that you lay down in terms of sin, and the enemy says, look what you're going to have to sacrifice. I'm telling you, all you're making room for is more of God's presence and more of His peace and more of His joy and more of His power in your life. And friend, that is worth exchanging. My sin for His righteousness, my guilt and shame for His peace, and my weakness for His power. Praise God. My old prison cell with bars of iron for His beautiful freedom and liberty. Hallelujah. Ah, friend of mine, what God is offering us today in order to heal our hurt and to heal our brokenness, He has given His Son, and Christ, through the shedding of His blood, has given His life. So everything we need, there is a balm in Gilead, there is a physician there, everything we need to be healed is available to us. God has supplied the love, the power, the grace, and we need to repent of our sin. And through faith in His finished work, Let that be applied to our heart, and let it be applied to our life. Oh, today, there's so much heartache, heartbreak. There's so much suffering in this fallen world. So many people that are just broken and shattered families and shattered lives. Ah, but Jesus beckons. Jesus beckons. Jesus beckons. Just like He did over the holy city. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem." You see, the great physician is offering protection, healing, help, a covering for this people that were vulnerable to their enemy, and they didn't even know yet how bad it would and could get. But even before the fact, the great healer is standing with open arms, with a broken heart, crying, "Why is the daughter of my people not healed?" With such a supply of grace and love through Jesus Christ. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times would I have taken you under my wing? Thou that stoned the prophets and killed them that are sent to you. You see the rebellion, this pride that pushes back against God's grace and God's wonderful mercy. How many times would I have not taken you under my wing as a mother hen does her chicks, but you would not. That is why that the blessing can't come. That is why the hurt can't be healed. It's not because there isn't an antidote, that there isn't a glorious supply of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of the blindness, because of the pride that has blinded the minds of men. And Satan uses it as leverage to keep us from salvation and the Savior. Today, I'm going to challenge you that are listening to this broadcast, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, I want to challenge you today. I want to call you with my voice, but He's going to call you by His Holy Spirit to come. Not to run from God anymore, but to run to Him. And let Him apply the blood of Jesus to your heart and to your life. And then let Him begin the healing work within you. That hurt, that brokenness, that discouragement, that fear, that anger, that shame, that guilt, it can all be healed. You can almost hear Jesus saying in contemporary 21st century postmodern world, you can hear Him crying what He cried to ancient Israel. "Come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Red like crimson, they shall be as wool." If you be obedient, willingly obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be destroyed by the sword. The enemy will prevail over you. But the offering is for pardon and forgiveness and restoration. Ah, someone in this listening audience, God is calling you, and God is reasoning with you right now. Don't pull away the shoulder. Don't turn a deaf ear. Open your heart and open your life to the one that stands. Instead of saying, "Oh, Jerusalem," He may be saying, "Oh, Tampa. Oh, Boston. Oh, New York City. Oh, Hamburg, Germany. Wherever you are, oh, Geneva, Switzerland, oh, South Africa, God is calling, oh, Honduras." And then it gets personal beyond just the cities and the nations. He calls James. He calls Jamie. He calls Sandra. He calls Robert. He calls Roy. "Come to me. Come to me. Apply the blood of Jesus. Repent of your sins and have faith in the finished work of Christ and receive Him. Oh, friend, our time is gone. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.